Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that God will meet you in this time with a fresh revelation of His love for you and that you will be challenged to align with the amazing plans that God has waiting for you. Here's this week's message from Pastor Claude.
So the title of my message is Don't Waste Your Life, with the focus on legacy. I remember being a young pastor. And it was kind of fun to do this message because I was going back on memory lane. And I was thinking about different verses that were significant in my journey as a pastor all these years. And I came up with four different verses. I'm going to share about on three this morning as with the time I have. And these are the verses that rocked me earlier on when I started to be a pastor, when I left my community and wanted to serve others. And they still rock me today. And they still have a grip of my heart and causes me to push forward. And sometimes I would prefer just to take a path of coasting and say, hey, you know, but I just feel God causing me to push forward. And I say, God, give me the wisdom to do that. But I believe that God has a call on all of us. And it's not about grandeur. It's not about greatness. It's about durable difference, making a durable difference. I remember in my 25, I was around 25 years old. I was serving in a small community of 1,500 with the dogs and the cats and surrounded by bush and rivers. And I was serving what I had. Like I said, I had not a lot of experience. I had a good theological foundation, but I didn't know how to lead as a pastor. And I remember one guy came to see me and he says, Claude, I can see you be a pastor of a small community all your life, and I can see you to go home to home. And I was offended and insulted by that because I thought about big and this and that, right? And I remember these words. I believe these words were needed to be said because I needed to be grounded on having a durable difference. That God was calling me to be faithful and do the work of the ministry, even though there was 5 or 10, or sometimes starting late because nobody was there. But it made me inform me to what God wants me to be. But what I want to share to you this morning is that we can all make durable difference. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter your IQ, education, your family history, your family name, your looks, or your past failures, age, gender, if you're a business owner or that you were a stay-at-home mom or dad, you can all make a durable difference. And I think it's important for us to take a hold of this. We can all add to someone else's life. And like I said, what I want to share to you this morning is don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. Don't buy in the American dream that it's all about you and your comfort. Don't buy in the American dream where there's no purpose and no significance. I think it's very important for us to realize that, yeah, God wants to bless us, and there's nothing wrong to be blessed by the Lord. But we got to realize that all of us, all of you watching on the balcony, all of us, we were created with purpose, and God has a plan for us. So my challenge for you this morning, my heart to yours, as we see the time we're living in, I think as we are seeing the time unfold and things happening, I think it's important for us to respond to God's call and to remember that we were created with purpose. I was not created just to float around and just to do life. I was created, I was planned by God to walk in His plan. So I want to remember this, and maybe what I'm sharing today is you've heard this many times, but I just pray that we would place ourselves before the Lord and say, God, what are you saying to me? So I'd like to unpack to some degree three texts that really spoke to me in this journey, and they're still pushing me. The first one is in Acts chapter 13, verse 36. Amazing text. It talks about David. It says, when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his father and his body decayed, but the one whom God raised from the dead did not see decay. I remember reading this in my early 20s, and it really rocked me because I kind of came alive to this thought that I only had one life, one shot. And I was looking at how am I going to live my life? How will I spend my life? And then I break this down. I saw David that had a heart for God, that he was not perfect. But you see his heart for God and his desire to see the presence of God in the midst of Israel. And the energy he spent to see the tabernacle being built so that God would be glorified and God would be in the center. And there would be an emphasis on worship. And we see David serve God's purpose. We see David not serve his purpose, but God's purpose. And what really ringed me when I was a young man is his own generation. It brought a sense of urgency, own generation. It talks about now, my generation. It's God has called me to make a difference in my generation. And I look back at that time, I had not too much to offer. I was so timid. I was shy. I was not the sharpest tool in the shed, and I'm still not. And I was looking at this, and I was looking at what I could bring, and I felt so limited. But the thing is, what really caught me and grabbed my heart was my generation. God has called me to impact my generation. And God reminds us in verse 36 that he was buried with his father and his body decayed. That life goes fast and life is like a season. We just went through summer. It went so fast. Now we're going to face fall and winter and spring and we'll come again. And you know, life is like that. It's a season. Life is not here. It's part. But it's not here. It's way beyond than here. So life is a season. And so we got to realize that one day we will be buried if the Lord tarries and our body will decay. But what will I do until then? I like to play pickleball. I don't find I play enough and I want to play more. I bought myself some awesome shoes to play pickleball. And I've got a pretty good racket. But you know, one day, I don't want to stand before the Lord and say, God, hey, did you like my spin when I played pickleball? Hey, did you like my serve? Because I've got a pretty decent serve, you know? God, were you impressed with my serve? I ain't never going to say that. But I know there's going to be a question that will ask me, what did you do with your life? And I'll see the big picture. Right now, I see in part, but one day I'll see the big picture of God's master plan and my part in it. And I'm called to see it now and not to miss out on what God is up to and to realize that I was planned for purpose. When you look at verse 37, it says, but the one who God raised from the dead did not see decay. I'll see decay. But I should be rocked by verse 37 because the one that we're serving did not see decay. He's risen. He's alive. And he sits at the right hand of the Father. And he rules in majesty. He's the one that made the heaven and the earth where every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that everything is under his feet. When my heart and my life understands that, I cannot just live my life coasting around. I just can't. When I understand that I will decay one day, and he didn't. And when I look at who he is and his splendor and his majesty, it has to trigger something in my heart. I can't live the same when I understand that he's risen. The reality of God and the reality of the resurrection changes everything. I look at Moses taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. And he saw the burning bush and he heard this call, I am. And we see him standing before the burning bush and hearing this is holy ground and removing sandal and bowing before God and hearing the name of the covenant, I am, changed everything. How can you go back? And then God says, go and set my people free. And then he had a ton of excuses. I can't, I'm not able, I can't talk, blah, 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 blah. He does like what we do, right? But the reality though, it brought him to a place of surrender to some degree because you cannot meet God and just continue to do your life. I don't think Moses was able to go and just go back to the sheep that he was tending after he met with them. With God, it has to influence me. It has to move me. We're following way more than traditions, moral codes, ideology, belief system. We're following the resurrected King. He is real. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And in one day, he's going to come triumphantly on a white horse. He'll separate the sheep from the goat. It's going to be, it's not a question of if, it's a question of when. And the reality is, where do I stand in this, right? Look what it says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. It gives a snapshot of Jesus. It says, it's through him God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He exists before everything else, anything else. He holds all creation together right now. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. He is the first in everything. When I get him, it gets me. See? When I get this, it gets me. When I see his supremacy, when I see his lordship, when I see him as the maker of the universe, the ruler, where he sits on the throne is his heaven, that the heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. When I get how big he is, how great he is, it gets me. It's like Isaiah that saw the temple, the presence of God. When he saw the train of his glory, he was just hit by that. You know what he said? Here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. When there's this revelation and the understanding, if that's a word, of the reality of God in one's life, and when we see that God is real and true, I can't just walk away and live my life. It changes the way I live, because it should. Because how can you live like there's no God when there's one? You can't, right? So when I understand who he is, it causes me to place myself under him. Like it says that Jesus is the head of the church. And when I see Jesus as the head of the church, it causes me to be his body. The reason why I don't play part of the body is because I don't understand the head. When I understand that Jesus is the head of the church, here I am, use me. And if you are, if there is a body that does not respond to the head, there's sickness involved, right? Or there's death involved. Because it's normal for the body to act according to the brain, right? And Jesus is the brain, is the head of the church. But for us to understand that he's the head causes me to be his member. But I will never be a member of his body if I don't acknowledge his the head. And the head talks about the leading, the ruling, the one that is in control. And I think it's so important for us to realize that and to reflect on that and to remember that God sits on the throne and he is God Almighty and that I'm his and that his ways, like David that served God in his own generation, would be the same when I understand that I will decay one day, but he has never decayed and will never decay. My second text that was inspirational in my journey is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. I don't know how many times I use that verse in my preaching. And for you, if you've been here since I've started 20 years ago, you've heard me quote that verse many times. It says, "For we are God's workmanship or masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." I can't really unpack that fully, but what a crazy verse. That I am God's masterpiece, that I was saved by grace, redeemed by grace, that I have a name and I have an inheritance in him, that I'm renewed, new birth, the things of the past is gone, everything has becoming new, and he dwells in me and the Spirit dwells in me, and that I am his and I am joint with him. It says that I'm seated in the heavenly with him, I'm fused with him. It's so unreal, I can't understand that. So it says that we are his workmanship, his masterpiece, but it also talks about his amazing work of grace continuing in me beyond birth, beyond new birth, where Christ is in me, moving and flowing through me through good works. Think about that for a moment. God has prepared in advance good works for us to practice. Just let that just sink in. You? God has prepared in advance. Think about that. It's not, one morning God gets up and, there's Tony. No, it's planned in advance. But God doesn't steal away our free will. We have the choice of stepping in or not. But God has planned good works for me to practice. And he has given me what is needed to be fruitful. When you think about that, it's unreal, eh? Just the fact that you were created by God for good works that he has plans for you to fulfill. Sometimes what crosses my mind is that it's like a book. Let's say you have a book that is only, my son has a book in his office where it's just a cover and there's nothing written in it. It's kind of funny, anyway. And so you'll take the book and you think there's some writing, but there's nothing in it. But it's really to take notes. It's like, imagine if God had all this book for me. And the only thing I've wrote in it is one line. I'm haunted by this thought. Because I think that one day I'll come before God and God said, I had all this for you to accomplish. And you did only this. Like, I don't want a walk in condemnation. I mean, I'm not putting condemnation on you. But I wonder what are these plans are. I don't know if you do. What are these plans, God? And the reality is God is able to convey to me his plans. Because God knows that we can't follow his plans and fulfill our calling on our own. We need his assistance. We need his work, the work of the Holy Spirit making it in us. But the reality is, what does he have in store for us, right? Have you ever thought about that? God, what have you prepared in advance for me? But he has. It's gonna look different from me to you, but he has things in advance for me to practice. Enduring change. Life that can be touched by my life and by yours. My last text that I want to share this morning that was pivotal in my journey is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. What a text. It talks about the heroes of the faith in chapter 11, all those that walk by faith. And in chapter 12, it challenges the church. It says, it starts by, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, referring to all the saints that walk before us. And the idea that you find in this verse, and you've probably heard this before, it's the concept or the idea of being in a stadium. And you're running in the stadium, and the saints of old are cheering you on. See, I've run the race, and God has been faithful, and they're shouting at us and saying, run the race, don't quit, keep your eyes on the author, the perfecter of our faith. So we're surrounded by this cloud of witnesses. I don't know how it works. I don't understand that. But it talks here about a cloud of witnesses that are there, and they're our witness or our testimony to run like them. And then it says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. The race marked out for us. And it's not an easy journey, right? There's some of you, like you had a lot of curves and a lot of hills and in life where it's been difficult. And sometimes that throws us off. And sometimes we think we don't have a race marked for us. But we do. All of us. You might be here and you might be 15 years old, or you might be here and you're 85. There's a race marked for you. And if you're still alive, that race is not finished. But it invites us to run with perseverance, because it's not an easy thing. But I have a race marked for me. I have a race marked for me. I got to take that. I got to let it sink down in my heart that you have a race marked for you. And don't get caught to prevent you of running that race. Don't get entangled with sin. Like, don't get caught. Don't get distracted. Don't look at your own personal abilities and context. Look at him, the author of your perfecter of your faith. Don't get distracted comparing yourself with the Jones or the Friesens or the Weebs. Don't make comfort your aim in life. Come on. Don't make your life about comfort. Don't let sin take a hold of your heart or get rooted in your heart. Don't let offenses and hurts bring you down so that you can't run anymore. There's so much that God wants to do. There's so much things that God wants to reveal in you and through and to you and through you. My prayer is that you would not waste your life. Don't waste your life. Give what you have. If you have a few fishes, give them. If you have empty hands, let them fill it. But don't waste your life. Don't buy in the American dream of pursuing things and think that life is about comfort. No. Be blessed by the Lord. Absolutely. Why not? But at the same time, live with purpose and live with significance. Maybe you're here this morning and you've coasted for many years. And maybe you've been working a lot on your spin on your as you play pickleball. Have fun. But realize that what really matters is to do His will. That what really matters is to step in what God has in store. You might be on the career high and you got a lot of possibility. Don't be caught by just the position. Realize that maybe God will use your position, but realize that wherever you are in life, live for His fame and it's for His glory. Realize that you were planned by God. You might be here, you're young, and God is stirring your heart. Well, maybe God wants to send you. Maybe God wants to raise you up. And maybe you're called to be a pastor. Maybe you're called to be a missionary. I don't know. But I know one thing is that we're called to place ourselves before God and to have this foundation. I'm going to wrap up with this. Have this foundation that He is God. And have this foundation that there's a purpose for you. These are the two foundations that we need to have. He is God. And I was made for purpose. And respond to that. Respond to God as being the supreme authority. And respond to the fact that you have a call that God has placed on you. Amen. I would ask you to stand. Father, I just pray that we would see your splendor. And like in the letter that Paul wrote to the Colossians, that we would see you and that we would understand that we will have, one day we will decay and our body will decay. But that yours, Jesus, did not decay. That you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. That you are the head of the church. That you're the one that holds everything together. God, let this move me. Let the reality of who you are move me in my inner man, that I would not live like this is not true, but I would live according to this fact, this truth, that you rule and that you are God. Father, I pray that I would stir my heart up to do your will and to place myself available and to ask you and to be like Isaiah, send me with open hands and being vulnerable before you and say, God, I am yours. That would live a life daily where I start my day and say, God, I am yours. And that you would build yourself up or that you would arise in me and that you would fulfill the heart of the Father through your body that I'm part of the church. If you're here this morning and you have walked away from the faith or you're lukewarm, turn your heart to Him. Say, God, come and forgive my sins. Come and wash over me. Maybe you're here this morning. You got hurt in the journey. You've shut yourself up. And you're not here by accident. This message is not a fluke. It's ordained by God for you to open up again and place yourself vulnerable. Maybe you're pursuing careers and you're caught up in this and that. Bring God in it. Doesn't mean that you don't run that life. on that path, but bring God in the center of it and let him shape things. And later on, you'll say, wow, it was the greatest thing to have God in the center of all this. Wherever you are, please realize that God is real and realize that you were planned by God. So don't waste your life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.